For those who have been here in these weeks past, we've been talking through, working our way through the book of Habakkuk. And if you're new today and you're saying, the what? Don't feel bad. Everyone was saying that a couple of weeks ago. The what? Habakkuk, what's that? One of the Old Testament minor prophet books. Towards the end of the Old Testament is where we find Habakkuk. But we hear in the news and we see all around us this connection that makes Habakkuk so real and so relevant for us today. Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet, lived about 600 years before the time of Jesus. And what he saw throughout Judah and what he saw in the world around him, and as he wrestled and struggled to understand what God was thinking, what God was doing, how appropriate that still is for us who, out of our own human struggle, come and struggle with this same idea of what God is up to and where is he in times of crisis. We wake up to the news of another shooting in a synagogue in Pittsburgh. We wake up to the news of 11 people who've lost their lives and others who are still fighting for them in hospitals back there. And we see a connection, don't we? We see a connection as the book of Habakkuk opens. And remember, a couple weeks ago, we touched on this. The opening of that book is violence everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? That's how Habakkuk opens his complaint. This story of his interchange with God, this conversation that we are given a kind of a bird's eye view on. We get to listen in on Habakkuk's complaint to God about why this world around us is so broken and what is God going to do about it. The beauty of the book of Habakkuk is that it's this conversation, just like it would be for us. I think sometimes in our own little quiet ways, we have these same conversations, though we may not hear the same answers, because we often don't wait to hear or often don't listen intently to see or to find out what God is up to. And we are just disturbed by the news around us. And we question God's goodness or God's care or God's awareness. This is the context of Habakkuk's struggle. It's really the context of our struggle yet today. The name Habakkuk means one who wrestles, and I think that's very appropriate for us because we see in Habakkuk one who wrestles with a world filled with injustice and violence, how easy it is to become disillusioned and lose hope, and that's really what's at the heart of this little book that we're studying here for the month of October. When we don't understand what God is up to, when we don't understand where God is in all of this, when we simply don't understand God. So today, again, as a quick review, I want to talk about this. Habakkuk is about how do we have and develop and grow in a biblical faith in the midst of things which are out of place, both in the world that is unjust around us, both in the plans that we have to walk out at times that we may not like the way it plays out for us. There are situations for all of us that cause us to wrestle. So how do we develop this biblical faith? If you've been here for a few weeks, you can probably fill in these blanks, and I'm going to just say them real quick. First one is this, that biblical faith is not the absence of doubt, okay? We see that from the get-go. This is a book about Habakkuk's wrestle with his doubts of understand, trying to come to terms. And without those questions, without being able to express those doubts, how will God ever be able to address them to enable our faith to grow stronger? Again, in the church, we tend to do this. We tend to minimize our doubts or not talk about our doubts for fear that people will think somehow that we have doubts. And if we have doubts, then we're obviously sub-Christian. And that's not at all biblically the case. And we see that through this short little book. The other thing is that biblical faith is not just positive thinking. Just because you always can have a positive outlook, look at things through the glass half full all the time. Hey, some of us are fortunate to be optimists. Any optimists in the house? Oh, there's four of us. Okay, good. Okay, good. The rest of you realists, come on. Get with it. But that's not what faith is either. Just because you see through rose-colored glasses doesn't mean you've got biblical faith. It just means that you're wired this way to kind of see the world through optimistic lenses. And that's important because then some of those who tend to be more pessimistic or not see the world as being having a happy ending somehow feel they're sub-Christian because they are not positive like the others around them. Our wiring, it's how we are. Let's be honest with ourselves. There's a couple of things we want to say that biblical faith is, and again, we see this as we look through the course of these three short chapters, that biblical faith is trusting God enough not to quit, not to give up, not to say, I'm giving up on God because he already gave up on me. Biblical faith gets into this trusting God enough to do what he says, even when we don't understand how that's going to play out. These are the things that begin to build the sense of a foundation for us that is going to enable us to weather the inconsistencies and the challenges and the brokenness of the world around us. This is what it means to have biblical faith, and that's what we're continuing to look at. So we're looking at this book, we're looking for the patterns, we're looking for the insights that God has left here for us as we move not 2,600 years ago, but as we move into our present day. And today we're going to be looking at some of the other roots of disillusionment. Not just the world around us, but it's also the frustrations from within as well. How long must I wait? Is chapter 1, verse 2. These roots of disillusionment come in this idea of waiting for a God whose timing is not our timing. How many of you like to wait? Okay, none of us. That's fantastic. Waiting in line at the store, not your favorite thing? Getting stuck? Oh, yeah. Waiting for a red light. Are we impatient people or what? You know, I do that. I avoid going through five corners. Because that light is so darn long. Shoot, my son Andy lives in Pasadena and drives to downtown LA every day. And I complain about how long the light is at five corners. I don't like to wait. Get stuck in traffic, I hate to wait. How many of us like to wait on a diagnosis? We'll get back to you about what this might be in 2 weeks. Anyone who's been through that knows that oftentimes the hardest time is that waiting, even if the diagnosis is not what you wanted to hear. At least now you know what you're dealing with. And there's something in us that gives us a sense of security or strength if we know what it is and we know what the plan is. But when we're having to wait, it is hard because waiting sucks, doesn't it? I should have had a fill in the blank here and see how you guys did with that one. Well, apparently Habakkuk was no fan of waiting either, and so we see that here, but it's part of the Habakkuk pattern. The Habakkuk pattern began with that honest complaint, that honest cry, that honest saying, I don't understand. And then the next step was the listening for God, trying to discern what he's saying, trying to see what he is doing. But the third part, and we're going to look at this a bit today, is that ability to wait. Chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2, I will climb to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says. Habakkuk realizes right off the top that this may not be right away. I must wait to see what the Lord says. He may not like it, but he realized this is going to have to be a part of what happens, and I will see how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on the tablet so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Again, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, about the idea of writing it down so that we can hold on to, keep that as a testimony of what God is doing as we walk through these difficult times, as we can share with others because it is now part of the record. But it goes on, and you'll see that there's going to be a difference here. Then God speaks, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, check this out. Wait patiently, for it surely will take place. It will not be delayed. Before I go on from this verse, I want to just touch on a couple of things quickly. First is this, that idea of waiting patiently. We're going to come back around to this because you'll see that when Habakkuk says, I will wait, notice the Lord does not say, yes, you will. And notice he doesn't say, go ahead and wait. But he says, you're going to have to wait patiently. And there's going to be a difference between waiting and being patient that we're going to find as we move through. The other thing I want to touch on is this idea. This vision is for a future time. And in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is written in Hebrew initially. The word there for that future time is called moed. Moed. It's a Hebrew word that is one of the Hebrew words that we translate as time. Hebrew has more than one word that we translate as time. They have a word that talks about time in this chronological sense, the keeping of time, the measure of time. When you say, what time is it? That would be using it in that proper way. But moed does not have to do with chronology. It has to do more with this idea of God's appointed time, the right time for something. The time was right. We say that as if it's the same thing. Well, when is the time right? Is there a certain time on the clock when the time is right? No, we know the time is right. It has to do with a God movement. And so that's what he's talking about at this future time. That the NIV actually calls it the appointed time, which is a little closer to its meaning. But God is saying that there is going to be a time, and it's God's doing. This is the beginning of an invitation to trust God even in the midst of that which we don't understand. And this word moed is that invitation. It's a clue for us. But in English, we see it as time, but it's not. It is something, it's not just sometimes something's going to happen in the future. It is that part about God's initiation that we need to begin looking for and seeing. It's an invitation to trust. And then it's an invitation to wait patiently. Maybe you have been praying for something that is critical, deep for your heart. And maybe you've been praying for that for a long time. Maybe to the point where you've almost given up hope on it because it doesn't seem to be happening yet. This is a reminder that sometimes what God is up to is going to require us to be patient and wait for his appointed time. For surely it will take place and it will not be delayed. But God's timing is not our timing. And we do grow impatient. We do get frustrated in that wait. And there is a difference, patience. I love this saying about patience. Patience is not about waiting, but patience is the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Think about that. Because when we're waiting, when we wait, we get anxious, don't we? When we wait, whether it be waiting in traffic or waiting for those results, we get anxious. We wait. Sometimes anger grows in our waiting because we're frustrated by the waiting. Out of that anger, sometimes bitterness grows. We grow distant with God. We grow distant with other people. We grow into this place of this bitterness begins to come out of this sense of waiting. But it's quite different when it comes to being patient. Waiting is the action of staying where one is, okay, not moving forward until that appointed thing comes. But patience is not about time at all. Patience is the capacity to deal with what's going on, this trouble, this suffering, without getting angry, without getting upset, without somehow moving into this place where it causes us more trouble because it invites us into a deeper place in our relationship with God. Patience is going to be wrapped up in trust. And that's why we talk about it being one of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, what are they? They were love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. But right in the middle of that list is what? Patience. And usually when we are talking about this, that's the one we all say, oh, well, I don't have that fruit. No, that's part of what it means to be growing, and that's why it's called a fruit, not the fruits of the Spirit. But he says these are the things that ought to be developing in us as believers, that as we grow through, we learn how to wait, not just wait by holding our breath until it's over, but of being present and living through as we wait patiently for God's appointed time. It's a radically different way of seeing the world, and I think it separates those of us who live under the gun of this frustration of not having things the way we want, and those who live not happy with how they are, but somehow moving to a place where out of their trust in God, God is bringing this patience in developing it, allowing it to grow. Aristotle, not a believer, and yet he caught this, the idea that patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. That there is something that grows in us as we learn patience. Again, not the bitterness that grows out of waiting, that we don't like what we had to endure, but somehow as we learn to walk in patience, trusting that God has this, that something sweet comes out of it. And that's what we're reminded of over and over again. It is this idea that somehow God's going to work in and through, and if we will do it with a sense of patience, there's going to be something completely new that not only happens around us, but that God then begins to do in us. Patience is not natural. Patience is a supernatural gift that begins to come as we trust and as we mature in Christ. Again, going back to that idea of it being a fruit of the Spirit, something, an outcome, an outflow of living in Christ and of having that grow, that a fruit just develops on a tree, so it is for us that this fruit should begin to develop in us as we learn to trust. There is something that happens, and it's called patience, that's rooted in God's goodness. In Isaiah 40, 31, it says this, but they who wait on the Lord, you read this verse? I'm reading out of the King James, those who wait on the, they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not be faint. It's funny, the more modern translations don't use the word wait, but they use the word trust, or they use the word hope. Now again, in our mind, our English language, we say those are three completely different things. But again, in the Hebrew, they're all kind of wrapped together. That's why our interpreters will sometimes choose to use one or use the other, because there's no direct correlation. This idea that we are to wait patiently, and in that could be an expression of trust. In that could be an expression of hope. Not simply holding our breath, white-knuckling through this thing called life, frustrated when things don't go our way, upset with God when he doesn't come through in the time that we have allotted for him to come through. But going back to that, I will do it, and I will not delay. We're going to be looking at this again next week and taking it one step further to the final part of the Habakkuk pattern, and we're going to be looking at this living in the in-between when we're not there, so that the answer has not yet come, taking our patience to that next level and saying, how do we live in the in-between? Lastly, this is our final verse. Look at the proud. The rest of the chapter goes on to talk about the Babylonians who are coming to punish them. Look at the proud. They will trust themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faith, or live by their faithfulness to God. This is our invitation, our jumping off place into next week. We'll be talking about what does it mean to live by our faithfulness, to move in a way that enables us to express that, to express it in a way that not only brings life to us, but a glory to God and a testimony of his goodness. So in the meantime, we will be patient. Father, I pray that you would help us in this day and in this week. For all those situations that seem out of joint, for that relationship, for that job, for that health concern, for that friend in the hospital, for that brokenness in our world, for those hurting and hungry children, for those grieving and those grieving families, for the division, for the strife, for the anger, for the bitterness. God, we pray that you would enable us as your people to meet you even in those places, even overwhelmed by the struggle and the strife, that we would somehow find you there to continue to grow us up. In the midst of the dark and the uncertainty and the unknowing, God, I pray that we would meet you there to begin to find you more clearly, to help us live more purposefully, and to be more completely yours. So guide our steps. Grow us in the ability not only to wait, but to find the grace of patience and trust wrapped up together in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.